This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Jeremy Sackis of New South Wales, my cricket instructor. Jeremy, there is a match, third test going on in Leeds, England. The final batting round, whatever you call it, innings, you call it innings? The final innings will be New Zealand taking the bat and England bowling. England has now scored 360 points. What does New Zealand have to do to win? What does England have to do to win?
As it turns out, John, it's quite amazing. Now, New Zealand, and well, actually, New Zealand has been batting very, very well. So there's really no doubt about that. But what's happening now with New Zealand, that 168 for five batsmen out, what they have to do is they have to get 200 runs now with four batters to beat the English 360, which is their total for this game. So right now, the New Zealand team is actually trailing behind England. And it looks like that the way they've been playing, those 200 runs, while it is definitely doable, it's going to be an interesting game because the reality is England is really bowling like a demon is the best way to put it. They've somehow figured out what the pitch is doing and they seem to be able to get on top of the New Zealand batsmen very, very quickly. So for England, for New Zealand, to actually make those 200 runs, it's going to be a tough sell. So this is going to be a really interesting game and it's certainly not the same English team we saw around about the first test, which was only just a couple of weeks ago. This is really, really unusual, John, for a team to come back so well.
I want to picture what's going to happen. There are four batters to go. Is that correct? Four batters on the New Zealand side.
Yes, yes.
And they're named batters. They're in order of the card that you give, the batting order. So we know who those four people are. Is that correct?
That is correct. And most of the cricket teams, while they do put some of the, you know, better performing batters towards the end, normally when you get to the last four, they're not the strongest batsmen. The strongest ones are at the front because there's no guarantee that depending on how well you do, you'll actually need those last four. So you basically put all your strongest batters at the front, but they're already out. So we're down to the last four New Zealand batsmen
right. Who
are not necessarily going to be the strongest guys on the field.
All right, but they need 200... points? You call them points? What do you call them?
We call them runs.
Okay, they need 200 runs, meaning 50 each. Is that impossible?
It's not impossible. And the reality is New Zealand could do this because New Zealand has shown during this entire series of the three tests that they do bat very, very well. But that's normally at what we call the beginning of the batting order, which is the order in which they bat. And not towards the end. Towards the end, they've always trailed off, which is how England got on top of them during the second test, which is where England pretty much decimated New Zealand, surprisingly, from behind. So the fact that they're down to the last four and that they're about to go into bat to try and make 200, this is worrying for New Zealand, but interesting for England because we had written England off at the very beginning of this entire series when they just couldn't bowl for anything. They just could not get on top of the New Zealand side. So this is interesting, John. I don't know where England's got this from.
All right. The bowler, his job is to bounce the, what do you call it, a ball? Do you call it a ball? What do you call it?
Yeah, we call it a cricket ball. And I should remind people too, John, that the cricket ball, if anyone has seen it, imagine a baseball, but it's red or it's sometimes pink during the charity matches. And it's a lot harder. This thing doesn't give. So it's a solid red ball, the size of a baseball, and about half the times heavier again. So this is a very, very heavy ball, which has a seam down the middle as well. And it's not like a baseball seam, which is slightly raised. This is a seam that's very raised. So it's a heavy red ball with a high seam that's bowled down a pitch that bounces before it comes to the batsman. So this is an angry, aggressive looking ball that comes down at about 160 kilometers an hour in some cases. So we're talking 100 miles per hour range on a fast pitch. This is what makes the game of cricket so hard and exciting.
And the bowler wants to knock over the wicket, one of the wickets. And the batter wants to defend the wickets and hit the ball where? Where would it be? He can hit it in any direction, correct?
Exactly right, John. And ideally, hitting it over the fence on the full, because like a home run in baseball, over the fence on the full gives the team six runs. So if you can do that, you get six runs immediately and you don't have to actually run up and down the pitch. Or if you can actually get it to roll up and against the fence, so if you think about, say, a two-base hit, for example, in cricket, the equivalent is that if you actually roll the ball to the fence line and it goes over the fence, that's four runs. So get four runs without running backwards and forwards. So ideally, the boundary is where you want to get the ball. And if you have a slow ball, because it's so heavy and hard, as I just mentioned, the ball slows down so quickly when it gets to the batsman that it's relatively easy to do. But I think what we're seeing now is that there is a fast pitch there, which means this ball is coming down faster at the New Zealand players than before. So they're going to be struggling with this one.
Now, I'm a New Zealand batter, and here comes the ball. I hit it, and it can go left, right, back of me, forward of me. And then my responsibility, say I don't hit it over the fence or I don't roll it to the fence, I have to run to the other wicket and run back or just run to the other wicket? And do I carry the bat with me?
That's correct, John. All you have to do as the batsman, run to the other wicket, and you have a batter at the other end of the pitch, and they'll run with you in the opposite direction. So what you do is you swap sides, and every time the batsman swaps sides or swap ends of the pitch, that's a run. So the batter who actually bat the ball and runs doesn't have to return to the bat to actually take the next ball. The other batsman can take the next ball if they get a single one. But the thing is, too, you also carry the bat. So it's interesting watching people who have come from baseball into cricket, and this is just in social and sort of like local circles, where sometimes you'll see them take a hit at cricket and they'll drop the bat and run to the other end, which, I mean, acceptable in baseball, but in cricket, you've got to go back down the other end somehow and get your wicket without leaving the crease.
All right, you hit the ball, and the other fielders spread around you in a circle, almost in all directions. If they stop the ball, how do they make you out while you're running? Do they have to hit you? What do they do?
Yeah, no, there is two ways. Firstly, if they catch the ball on the full from the batsman's bat, that's out straight away. Right, so exactly the same
as in
baseball.
Fly ball, you're out.
That's exactly right. It's a fly ball and you're gone. The other way is, though, you have to be able to hit the wickets by throwing the ball from your hand into the wickets without the batsman being inside the white line in front of the wicket to the wicket itself. So if the batsman is basically out of their safe zone, which is about a metre and a half area in front of the wickets, then you can get them out by hitting the wicket. But the good thing is, too, you don't actually have to hit the wicket of the batter that's just batted. So say the batter just hit the ball and the other batsman down the other end of the pitch is trying to take a lead. So he's taken about five or six steps out of the crease to try and get right up towards the other end to make the running distance shorter. If you get the ball and can hit his wicket, then he's out. He's out from straight away. So if they're out of the safety zone and it's in fair play, the ball hitting the wicket will get the batsman out.
Does the batter have to run if he hits it in bounds, or can he choose not to run?
No, you can absolutely choose not to. And in fact, when you see cricket games now, they have microphones at the wickets and at the stumps so that you can actually hear the calls. And what you'll generally hear is if the ball goes in front of the batter that's hitting it, the batsman will either call no or yes to the other batter to say go. Or if he hits it behind it, the batter at the other end of the pitch will actually say stop or go to let him know whether or not to run. So it's a very strategic game. And unfortunately, that's what makes it so slow, because some days they're just not hitting it in a place they can run, and they can literally stay there for an entire afternoon and technically not run up and down. Not that they would, it'd drive them absolutely crazy, but there's no reason for them to run.
Who makes the call whether you run or not? Does the coach signal, or is that the batter's choice?
That's the batter's choice, and it genuinely depends on which batter's actually facing the ball. So if the batter actually hits the ball behind them, it'll be his other batter down the other end that's watching where the ball's going that will make the call. So it's whoever can see the ball and is in the best position to call it. So these are part of natural drills with cricket. They know which batsman's going to make the call depending on where the ball goes, and they know where the ball has to be to get a safe run. So it's fascinating watching where they call go and stop on, because sometimes you think that there's going to be a safe ball, but they won't run, and you can see that, you know, they wouldn't have quite made it. And then other times they'll run when you think there's no moments to spare and they'll still make it. So they're very well drilled at picking when to run and when not.
If a fielder catches the ball, the ball bounces and he fields it cleanly, does he have to throw it immediately towards the wicket, or can he throw it to a mate who then throws it closer in to the wicket and he throws it to the wicket?
Absolutely correct. You can have a cutoff. And in fact, they often do, especially if you get a ball that has actually landed near the boundary and there was a fielder out there who got it, because the ball is heavy. While some of them can get them back to the pitch on the full, normally you try and get it in closely, because then if you can get it into somebody that's closer to the actual pitch, I mean, about 2-3 meters away,
that's a relay.
They get more accuracy.
Yeah, that's a relay from the outfield in which you're going to throw the guy out at the home plate, but you throw it to the shortstop and he throws it to the catcher. I understand. Well, I'm learning, Jeremy. I'm learning. And we'll see how this third test, New Zealand versus England. Of course, we're all looking forward to Ashes next, because if England is improving, and they were absolutely flat when they left Australia, if England is improving, Australia has to play an away game next time. Jeremy Zakas, teaching me cricket late in life. I'm doing the best I can. I've watched a couple of YouTubes of cricket. It's slow, Jeremy. It's very slow. However, I don't complain because I'm learning. Jeremy Zakas in New South Wales. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. Well, I begin to understand more.